yourself before you wreck yourself. Break yourself, fool.
Hello, everybody. Josh Ricardo, Slam Pick Podcast, name of the show. Very popular podcast, actually. You know, without really any support from my industry, any support from anybody, really, I've built a franchise, if you will, for myself. Now, granted, I'm no famous guy. I got a little bit of a social media following. I headlined some clubs. I made some films that won some awards, but no one's ever really invested in me as a man, as a performer. But I've managed to build something around me that is real. It's no bullshit. It's no Instagram, Snapchat, hashtag, cunt-filled bullshit that I've managed to build. I built stuff on real shit. And this episode is some of the realest shit I've ever done. I have on actress Venus Lux. Venus Lux is transgender. And in this interview, we go in depth. This ain't no Caitlyn Jenner horse shit. This is someone that has struggled through life to figure out identity. I don't know if any of you have ever had this happen to you. I'm assuming one of you has, where you don't know who you are and you're questioning everything about you, and then you have to make a decision. And Venus Lux has done that. And not only has she done that, but she did something about it. And this episode's about her struggle. And we hold no punches. We tell you from the nooks and crannies, the nuts and bolts, whatever, however one you put it together. We get in depth. And I really appreciate her candor, okay? I'm a little irritated, I'm not going to lie. I'm irritated about the world around us, but what does make me happy is shows like this. So, enjoy. I say this a lot because I'm a very lucky man. And in the words of Billy Zane in Titanic, a real man makes his own luck, as do I. And I'm very lucky today to have porn superstar, AVN winner, Venus Lux. Say Lux.
Lux.
See, I did Lux. I didn't say maybe I'm lucky, so I confused your last name, your porn star performance last name with Lux. But I am lucky, and she is Venus Lux. Say hello to everybody.
Hey, hey. Thanks for having me.
So what's really great is that before I hit record, a friend of mine, I was telling Venus this, a friend of mine, Venus is a transgender porn star.
Yes.
Is that the proper terminology?
Yes.
Transgender porn star? Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about how basically the world is kind of changing, leaning towards being okay with different things, right?
Yeah.
It's always been there.
It's always been there. It's just no one wants to like kind of out themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So I was telling Venus, a friend of mine, who's actually a really good friend of mine, he's worked PA on a lot of my films. He saw a tweet that, you know, Lainey's here. Shout out to Lainey's. and he was like, oh my God, this dude, like, I knew this guy's like a horny guy. He's like a really perverse guy, but one of those conservative dudes that he will never let it out unless he knows he's completely safe, right?
So many of those out there.
So this is what's great. This is how into Venus he is. The dude, like, it took him, let's say, 8 months of us intense talking where I am revealing myself because that's what I do for a living. Anyways, for him to get remotely comfortable to start, like, throwing out his little sexual
hints.
Yeah, his dalliances with sexuality, right? Uh-huh. And he's like this kind of macho Italian guy, which is even – this makes
really?
Even
now
better.
I'm trying to figure out who he is.
you don't know him. He's like a nice guy. He's not a nerd or anything. He's just like a good guy but has all these like in-depth things about him. He's great. If you would have let these out, I'm sure people would love
him for
it. He's
not one of those like corporate hedge fund looking
kind of
guys.
Well, no, he's not rich
guy.
Or anything. But dude's like a good dude. Uh-huh. He's trying to keep his shit straight up. Okay. You know, he has a chick and he needs
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. He's a whole thing.
Okay.
But he hit me up and he was like, you're going to have Venus on? Oh, yeah. And he started telling me about how big of a fan he is.
Oh, my God.
And I was so happy.
I need to see that conversation. I need to see that conversation.
Yeah, I know, right? He, like, called me. And then we had in-depth, like, he mentioned one other porn person. I want to say Jane Marie. Is that her name?
Yeah,
another
Jane Marie.
Transgender. Yeah. He's like, I want to have a – let's have a foursome with you, me, Venus, and Jane Marie. I'm like, I think – people don't understand, like – because of what I do, and I'm sure you get this too.
Yeah.
Because of what I do, dudes are always hitting me up like, I have access.
Like, it's appropriate.
Because they'll see me with girls, uh-huh. and they'll know, like, oh, I know this guy fucks girls.
Yeah.
So he must be able to do whatever he wants because he has people around him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he was half kidding, but there was still a half that probably was serious. Like, yeah. in reality, we would meet. And I'd be like,
drunk hey, people.
Let's get Jay Marie on the phone, and let's get this foursome going with this stranger that you don't know.
Totally. I would totally
do people
do that
with you?
Yeah.
For example, let me give you an example. So you're very out there, and you're very well-known in your craft. You've yes. won awards for what you do.
Yes.
So you're like the main transgender bitch, right? Yes. You do your thing.
I would
so
see it.
People yeah. know you, and then you're dating in your outside life.
Yeah.
I'm assuming anyone you would date would not ask you this because you wouldn't be interested in someone that would do that.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you meet guys. Maybe it's going decently well.
Yeah.
They happen to be a fan, and they go, so let's throw in
this person. I love it when you did this scene with this chick named Aubrey Kay, and I'm like, oh my god, you fucked her. It was so hot. Can I be a part of that? Like, hey, can you give me her number? I'm like, wait, where's this fine line between a nice fan to just a total creeper?
Sure.
So I get that all, especially conventions.
Let's talk about the word creep. Is it you sell sex for business?
Yes.
You need creeps.
Yes.
Because those are the guys that show up to your fucking booth, yes. take the photos, buy the merchandise, hit you up on the Twitter, blow your shit up. But it's a double-edged sword, right?
Because they stay at the booth sometimes.
They just sit around
and just keep talking and talking until you actually like, hey, can I get your
you
number?
You have to be mean?
Sometimes I'm like, hey, I'm sorry.
I feel like you might be bitchy. I don't even know you, but I feel like you could be bitchy.
I can be,
you're
but
like a fierce...
I'm too sweet.
I met you once at headquarters through Laney, right?
Oh.
You were, we didn't sit there. It was... Oh, I don't know, and I don't think it was crazy. It
with
was
Jade?
A while ago. It was with
Jade Vixen or whatever.
I don't remember who was there. It was Laney does a lot of parties at headquarters.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about
it's
that later.
It's small as fucking world.
Yeah. And I met you randomly, and I remember someone going, "Oh, it was when Jessa was there. It was a long time."
Christmas
thing, yeah. And I remember someone going to me, "Oh, you know that's a you know that's
transsexual.
She's transgender."
Yeah.
And I mean I kind of tell, but I didn't. But you look amazing.
Thanks.
So. I guess the first question to start the interview off, which is, I think is really interesting, just from a straight up adult film level.
Yeah.
How I've met a lot now over the years, a lot of people in the industry.
Uh-huh.
I've met some women that take it to the extreme to act like they're so separate from their job. Now, granted, I'm sure they are very separate from what they do on film. I mean, people meet me and they think, oh, I saw you in that thing.
So, yeah.
Are you like this?
Yeah.
But there's always some truth to everything I do because there's me in roles.
Yes.
Even if I'm playing a homeless guy, there's something in me in that role, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel it's necessary to completely separate yourself from who you are as a porn star in your regular life? Like, do you tend to try to not fuck like that? Or do you tend to, like, when men are interested in you, make it, you know, be little Susie Homemaker, prudish bitch, because you don't want him to think that you're a whore.
Like, the great situation is like, you know, the analogy for this is like, if you're driving a bus all the time and you want to go home, do you want to drive the bus again? Kind of situation.
Yeah, okay.
So that's the thing. For me, I don't completely like to segregate everything. I am a compartmentalist.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to...
You have to be in this
I have
this,
to.
In this
in
line
order
of work,
to stay
right?
sane, you know, for God's sakes, especially with my personal life partners.
Mm-hmm.
And... sometimes they have these expectations like, oh my God, you're like this in films, that you must be the same way in the bedroom, in the private life.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, at times I can be. Of course, I have to build up to that mood. If I haven't been shooting for like a month, I'm going to get fucking horny.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to want some rough sex.
Yeah.
You know, wall banging, head banging, everything, you know? So,
through the drywall. Throw her through the great wall.
Exactly. Just superwoman situation. So for me, I like to toggle it on and off. It depends on – I'm an initiator. I like to be the initiator. I do not like to be –
Why are you so dominant? Wouldn't you like
I'm
for a man –
fucking Asian.
Well, even Asian women could be submissive. In fact, isn't that demure, like being very –
Oh, I'm tiger mom all the way, honey.
What kind of Asian are you?
I'm Chinese.
Okay.
I'm Chinese and Mongolian.
All right.
But I was raised Chinese.
What's the difference?
The difference between Chinese –
Mongolians were Chinese. I'm very confused.
Genghis Khan dominated China.
I know Genghis
China,
Khan's a Mongolian.
Yeah.
Why is he not Chinese? Didn't he overtake China or some shit?
I don't know.
But
know
there's
the
a difference. That's what you're telling me. You don't
know
the difference.
I'm not a fob here. Sorry. I
so
did.
You have no white in you at all?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Sorry. I had a couple of white in me a couple days ago.
I'm sure. Some whites have been around you in the vicinity.
Exactly.
Inside the body cavity.
But when it comes to fans... It just sometimes does bother me sometimes when, you know, they kind of have these expectations. More so is just because I'm always approached in the same manner. The thing is, like, when you get to a level of some sense of fame. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't really associate you as a normal person anymore sometimes. Uh-huh. They kind of look at that at your elevated level and you have these expectations. It'd be nice sometimes people like, hey, how's your day going? You know,
yeah, like, instead of like, hey, would you fuck this?
Yeah, can you show me your dick? Can just measure it together and see who's bigger?
Let's fight with our dicks.
Yeah, totally. I'm like, no, my dog just died, you know? So I'm like, yeah, I totally want to do that, you know?
This is interesting because what's weird about your job, because I do a lot of deep dive into like the psyche of the adult star because I have to write about them a lot for the show. And what's interesting and kind of annoying to me sometimes with certain individuals in your field mm-hmm. is that a lot of these people think they're famous. And granted, you are, but you're not at the same time. Yeah. You know, like
you're
people,
like effortless.
I mean, for someone just like we just talked about at the beginning, if someone stops you on the street, mm-hmm. they're admitting that they watch transgender porn.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you probably have famous men, mm-hmm. famous people in the industry hitting you up constantly to fuck you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you don't have that mainstream following to warrant, hey, I have – even though you do have the same –
like talk to my publicist. Don't talk to me.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That whole thing. Like it must be a confusing thing and it must give some women who are new to the business or who are decrepit kind of emotionally to – build themselves up in a way where they become kind of awful to deal with.
Yeah. And I think it builds over time the jadedness, you know, mm-hmm. and because of the fact that we are in limbo sometimes and we don't have that kind of commanding power, just like, who the hell are you to talk to me kind of situation?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you come off of very abrasive.
Sure.
And so, you know, I've experienced those situations so many times. And the thing is
– with other people in the business?
And other people in the
business. How do you not – like before you get to that, how do you not do that? I mean, I'm sure there must be a growing period where you probably thought –
you just ignore
it. I'm the shit. Like you yourself. It. How do you get out of it? You're saying you ignore your own voice in your head?
Yeah. No, I ignore the people who actually have these redundant and random requests, you know, of me. And or I kind of keep it professional and I just kind of leave it as that and put
What I'm saying is how did you get over that initially of yourself? Like I'm sure there were points where your ego gets out of check, right? You got to check your own ego.
Yeah, it's
sometimes.
Fucking annoying sometimes because the thing is you do have to play with your own psyche sometimes mm-hmm. in regarding to like, hey, how should I approach this matter? You know, do I approach it in such an abrasive way where they may come off like, oh, I'm not going to be a fan of you anymore because you're just a bitch.
Sure.
You know, or they're like, oh my God, she's so open to the point where like, I want to learn more. I want to get your number. I want to hang out with you kind of situation. And there's that fine line. There's a silver line of really what's to the limit and what's going to be appropriate. Mm-hmm. And for me is I don't even put it on a table. I don't put it on a table for discussion. That's the thing. I'm just like, I appreciate, I love that you're a fan. I love that you're passionate about my work and you want to meet me. But at this moment right now, I do like to be able to focus on my own personal life. I keep things a little segregated. Mm-hmm. I don't like to mix business with personal because of the sake that I am a public figure. I don't want to maintain this persona. I don't want to come off of as bitch. I want to be as nice as possible. I really appreciate your love and affection.
So you don't want to fuck your fans. That's what you're saying.
That's not all the time. No. I don't.
But you have, though.
I've had. I'm going to admit to it. You know,
you
some,
should cop
some
to
some fucking
it.
Drunken nights and you're fucking horny. You got a boyfriend and you're single. You're going to need that dick now.
You're going to fuck a fan.
Yeah, I got to fuck a fan. Even if it's going to be for free. So,
How emotional are you? Because I don't know if they understand this, but uh-huh. to maintain your femininity, you have to take some hormones, I assume.
I've actually been off for 4 years.
Really? So your body, how does that work? Your body becomes accustomed to it?
I am in my head all the time. Basically, you're playing your own parent and your own therapist at all times and being able to mediate your own sanity because of the fact that to counterbalance your work, in my field, you have to be desensitized. You have to be mentally all in, especially if you have your maintain erection. And maintaining an erection is so fucking hard.
It's really
on
hard,
set.
Ladies. It is hard.
What you guys
literally,
see.
Literally, figuratively, it's hard.
It's so fucking hard.
Now, when you're on the hormones, is it harder for you to get an erection?
It is hard. And at the same time, sometimes, you know, even when you're trying to ejaculate, you actually don't see anything.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why I opt out, because it just made my career, it will make my profession more complicated to be able to be mentally in. And so when you are off hormones and also maintaining your own sanity, you suppress your emotions. You cannot, especially if you have a really hot co-star and you really want to be able to see if you can take this to the next level, you have to mediate yourself and be able to say like, no, this is work. It's just keep it professional. And because of the fact that it becomes a spiral effect. You know, I feel like sometimes with the female emotions, it becomes a distraction. And I see a lot of girls who get into drugs, who just fuck off camera all the time and then end up not getting more work because of that. Mm-hmm. You know, so you really have to be your own brand manager and be able to kind of dictate where do you really want to go with this and how do you want to come across? Because everything you touch, everything that you display will be scrutinized and will be judged.
When you're not on the hormones, though, when you first decided to not be on them, were you scared that some of that male shit would start peeking its way back in? And you
Honest, right now, I love my fucking male shit because, like, I fucking love being a tomboy and I love being able to enjoy the things I want to do and not having to deal with the fucking drama.
Really?
All my friends are dudes and I have some of my friends who are chicks but they're lesbians. And the thing is, it's who I am, disregarding that, you know,
biology is fascinating. Yeah. I want to stick on that for one second.
Go ahead.
The biology of the hormones, what were the hormones doing? Affecting your voice? Allowing you to grow breast tissue?
Breast tissue, yes. Okay. And it feminizes your body. Basically just distributes your fat to the appropriate areas that a woman would have, like the ass and the hips, the tits. Guys will be the belly, you know? So it'll shift all that. Also, it'll smoothen out your skin a little bit and thin out your hair follicles. Uh-huh. But that's about it. That's about it.
And so you didn't lose anything by going off of them necessarily? Just you're not growing boobs anymore and maybe you got to work extra hard in the gym?
Yeah, I got my tits. I'm good. But the thing is, I'm not as curvy as I used to be. I used to be much more curvier.
Yeah.
And it doesn't affect your voice at all. It's, you know, because you just can't. It's a muscle.
You're actually training your voice to be what it is.
It's just like a singer, you know. You just train your voice. Mm-hmm. And over time you just kind of know what are some components that you need to kind of modify, such as, okay, if I'm off hormones, I will start becoming more hairier.
That's what I think too.
Yeah, laser. Thank God I'm fucking Asian.
And you're Asian too. I mean, so you laser it off and you're Asian.
And I'm Asian. I have no hair at all. So the rest of it is just like, you know, genetics. It's all based off of genetics, you know. So I've always been this fit, and when I'm on hormones, I'm curvier. But other than that, you know, I love
curvier
that.
Curvier being like your hips and ass.
Hip and ass. Yeah. But I overall more so did it because of the fact that I love sex. I wouldn't be in this field if
so
I did not love sex.
You weren't enjoying it as much when you're on hormones.
I wasn't as horny as I would. Guys like to fucking jerk off every single day. So do I.
Now you know? Got that back.
And on top of that, like, if I want to do a chick today, I want to do a guy tomorrow, cool. I'll have that option when I'm off hormones.
So but you equally male and female?
Not equally.
You're more male oriented.
Yeah, more male oriented. I wouldn't say male oriented. You kind of would say that, but I'm more drawn to masculinity.
Okay.
So if it was like a lesbian chick who was like a stud and like a full on dyke, a bull dyke. I'll be drawn to that totally. And prissy chicks, sure. You know,
Are you another transgender woman too? Fucking yourself and you're kind of an egomaniac.
It's kind of like fucking myself in a way. Because, like, your sisters in a way. It's like you're a sister that
this unspoken sisterhood.
Yeah. You're like your friend. You're talking about guys and all of a sudden you're fucking her. It's just like, it's awkward. And I've actually had that where it's just like.
For a scene or in your personal life?
A scene.
Okay.
And I was fucking basically Ava Lynn, who actually we were good friends prior to porn. Uh-huh. It was so awkward just having sex with her. Because it's just like we know so much stuff about our own personal lives and secrets. And, you just gotta.
Revealing, right?
You just gotta do it.
In the confessional, you can't do that.
Exactly, it's like fucking your priest in a way, you know, because you're
transgender. Priest.
You're transgender priest.
It's a very progressive church you're in. So, what I find intriguing and what I think people, because I could sit here all day and talk about the sexuality behind it. I'm sure people love that, but it's not the kind of show I do for the most part. I'm far more interested in the psychology behind.
I love it.
Going, hey, you know, people don't understand. Being in a place where your mind is one thing, you know, mm-hmm. like when you're coming up and you're growing up and you're going, something ain't right, right? You know, and then you go, I gotta make this happen.
Yeah.
I'm sure the sheer force and confusion involved in that must take its toll, and there's a rebuilding period once you get okay with you and your body.
As I said before, because you're a porn star, especially for me as a dom, you know,
well,
I'm always
before you got on camera. I'm talking about the young Venus discovering the fact that, hey, this is I think there's something more.
The
to
irony
than what
of
I
it
got.
Was actually I was a docile fucking Asian. I was like, I will fucking serve you tea and make you fucking cupcakes and I'll serve it to you.
And then you became a woman and it all reversed. This is the problem with this day
I'm
and age.
I'm still a woman. It's just marriage, just like exchange of roles. I think what happened was like I was just so fed up of it, you know, because I never got the appreciation or I was able to get the needs to be addressed for me, and I never got reciprocated.
This is when you were growing up.
Yeah, I was growing up, and
how long did it take you to transition? How old were you before?
I was 19, and I had no clue of what a transgender person was. I thought it was just like a typical guy. I was like, that's a fucking drag queen. Like, that's not me.
I'm have
like,
a mustache and a wig on.
Mustache and a wig, and like a bra on my head. Like, no, that's not me.
Like those old Budweiser commercials where it was ladies' night, free Bud for the. You remember those?
So sexy. So I always had that depiction of like what a transgender person was, and mentally. It just didn't connect with me. And so over time, I've kind of did more research until one day a transgender girl approached me and I did not know who she was transgender and until I actually dig deeper that come to realization that this is a transgender person. I thought she was a regular girl and she actually has a penis. And I'm like, wow, I'm so fascinated. How do you live your life? And you got tits too and you're so beautiful and you sound like a woman. You act like a woman and your hair is all yours. I'm like, how is that possible? And so it took me about 2 months to be able to kind of like dissect her in a way to get the information I need to be able to
figure out. But she opened up to you enough.
She did. You know, I was back then living in transitional housing and we were both in a transitional housing together back then.
Offer a service where you can actually feel like you're amongst others when you're transitioning.
Yeah.
That way you don't have to be
around. I was in San Francisco and this was like basically a queer housing situation. Basically it was like an anti-homeless project. And so back then I quit my job. I was working in hospitality for like 3-4 years as a general manager. And from there I kind of got lost and lost my way and end up, you know, getting into, you know.
So that's part of the confusion, right?
The confusion.
I mean, that's an internal battle that people don't understand.
And how do you counterbalance the real life? Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the thing is, how do you contemplate on real life shit along with dealing with your own emotional and mental stability?
Yeah.
And so you kind of have to segregate time.
Because people forget, like, not only are you going through that 24/7 because it's inside of you, but now you got to go in the world and live a life. You got to go have a job. You got to pay your bills.
It's a fucking double whammy.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's fucked up. So that's why I was glad to be able to be in a transitional program where I actually had
that
time.
How did you even find that?
You put your name on a wait list.
But I mean, even hear about it through this woman or no?
Nonprofits. I used to work in a nonprofit for 6 years.
So you did some research on what you know, as you were trying to decide whether or not you're going to transition. And your family was supportive or not, I assume.
No,
not, right?
I actually ran away from home when I was 17 and I ended up basically was homeless for a little bit. And before I actually was able to get into this transitional housing, which you have to be 18 to get in.
Yeah.
So for a year, I had to just be basically in limbo. And when I did get in, I was able to meet this transgender girl.
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of got started with this momentum of like thinking about transitioning. And I actually did transition when I was 19 or turning 19. And she kind of became like my mother in a way, guiding me the process of like how to really take hormones properly, how to dress, how to do makeup. And from there, you know, it kind of became a blossoming effect of like how I really wanted to live my life and really dictate my own
characteristics. Because technology has allowed you or people now.
I was homeless. What technology did I have?
I'm talking about now. But then that's what I mean. Then you're like, how the fuck does this happen?
Yeah.
Now I feel like in the last 5 years especially, technology is so great and the advancement of making –
it made it much more convenient. Yeah.
Straight girls, you did some help too. Because now straight men are getting all this plastic surgery that now men transitioning can do. And you look just like these chicks doing it. The crazy lips and the asses and the tits. It all could look just the
same. Sorry to correct you, but I wouldn't say straight girls. I would say cisgender. Cisgender girls.
Whatever. What does that mean? What is cisgender?
Cisgender is basically a terminology to kind of formalize a person's genetically born female.
Oh, okay.
When you say straight, it's more of a sexuality.
Yeah, I understand. You're right. Cisgender. I learned something new then. Yeah, so you cisgender broads have really helped out.
And expanding on the level of feminism.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, and actually break down barriers to be able to see that plastic surgery is normalized, you know. Mm. But the thing is, when it comes to transgender, sometimes we obsess about it, especially for me, like being in the spotlight for so long that you start to contemplate like, oh my God, I want to get my cheeks done, I get my nose done, I get my jaw done. It's more so because the scrutiny that we deal with all the time as being a transgender woman, that we have to conform to society to be able to fit in properly. And if something kind of throws us off board, like, oh, I look a little masculine, then you start obsessing about it. And that's the reason why I don't date fucking transsexuals.
Because they go nuts, right?
They go nuts. You know, I'm just like, I don't want to obsess with this. Plus the fucking PMS that you get from hormones.
Yeah, because you get your own menstrual cycle, basically,
but we
right?
don't. We menstruate, so that basically the PMS
the
stays,
hormones of it.
Stays inside of us all the fucking
it can
time.
Never release. The PMS holds inside of their rotted black heart.
Shit. fucking shoot it out of your asshole somehow. I don't know.
I think it's – I guess to kind of circle back, you dealing with this – your mentor of sorts.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, even if it was 8-9 years ago, I don't even know when it was, but I know it was definitely before, like we're talking about the advancement of all this technology and what's going on. Because of your genetic breakdown and being Asian, I bet you were able to look far more feminine than a lot of people transitioning at that
time. Oh, yeah, right? Definitely. Look at our fucking men. The Asian men look more like girls, you know, than some other cultures. You know,
it's very soft features.
It's a soy fucking bean. Soybeans. Soybeans and soy sauce.
Everything's normal.
Yeah, because soybeans have so much estrogen in it. So it's pretty much like a birth control, basically.
Really? Look at you coming up with a hypothesis of why.
I eat a lot of soybeans right now to be able to balance out my testosterone, because lately it's been like I've been horny like a motherfucker. Like, I will fuck a wall right, like, sometimes. And I feel like sometimes, like, a total dude. And I love that because I'm being transgender. I kind of have that duality of the mentality of a female and a male. I love that because I can be able to kind of counterbalance as in how would a woman feel versus how a man will feel, and then vice versa. So I'm able to contemplate on a certain topic and be able to have two aspects of looking at something. And so for sometimes when I'm like, I'm horny.
Give me an example of that. Like, so you're saying, I know what you're saying. You're saying basically that, hey.
Like dating.
You get to look at somebody and go, I'm not talking about the obvious, oh, I can date whoever I want because I like both sexes. You're saying, dealing with this man, I'm looking at it as from a woman. I can also look at it from his perspective as a man.
Yes, because I've been in the guy's shoes. You know, so if I'm dating a guy, I'm like, why is this guy not calling me? I'm like, okay, maybe the guy's, you know, busy. It isn't that. But when typical cisgender women, they're like, why not call me? What a fucking douchebag. You know, asshole. You know, he should be calling me right now. But for me, I start to kind of put in my male experiences. I'm like, maybe because he's busy, he's dating other chicks, it's all good, you know. So it kind of levels me out.
Was sex not good? Was something
I don't know. I don't get that insecure now.
Sometimes as a guy, you go, what are some reasons why?
The crazy ass bitches sometimes.
About, like,
you know?
One girl, because your vagina smelled different. Like, there's a lot of weird shit that I've not shown up to the party
clean,
again for.
You know?
Something, right?
So I think
you do the checklist.
Yeah,
see, now you have more checklists. You have fucking women. You have the female one and the male one. You gotta go through.
This is why I fuck girls, but I don't date girls. I'm sorry.
Awful.
not awful. I'm just like,
you cisgenders are awful. I'm saying it.
One bathroom, two fucking girls. Imagine that. 2 hours to do makeup. So basically, 4 hours to get out of the fucking house.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And on top of the drama. So this is the reason why I stick to guys and I date guys and I always default guys and won't change. But I'm open to dating transgender guys if need. Be,
you know, and off the hormones, are you more, you want to fuck women more?
To be honest, it's funny. I like to fuck women more. I don't like strap-ons. You know, I rather prefer the real deal. So with a guy, you know, I'm not just a transgender girl who just likes to fuck all the time. I actually like to switch it around. You know, I'm a porn star, for God's sakes. I like to switch it around a little bit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Mix it up, right?
I want to mix it up. I want to keep it a fucking buffet. You know, I'm Asian. I love fucking buffets.
Okay, so how do you even bring that in? I mean, obviously, we could throw a rock right now outside my window and hit a guy who's into a buffet of fucking.
Yeah.
How do you go about building anything? If that's even something you want. I'm assuming at some point you want to build something or you have built something with somebody.
Yeah.
How do you keep that together? How do you go, hey, I want to build something with this person, but I also want to maintain myself.
Yeah.
And yourself is someone who likes to fuck a lot of different people.
Thank God being scouted out by kink.com and kind of being working with them and shooting for them for the past 4 years have helped me kind of hone my skill of, like, how do I get someone to a specific fetish or something that's unique, that's not conforming to a standard vanilla sex.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of just kind of grow it. It's all trust building and also just testing and trial and error.
But
kind
what
of
I'm saying is, do you have to find somebody in the industry, or have you done this with
I've done it with normal people,
civilians
or vanilla people, what I call,
kind
of grow it, and you kind of gauge on their interest in it.
They're already
curiosity.
Into you.
Yeah.
Then most likely they might be open-minded to what you're going to be wanting
to do. Yeah, you would assume
but
that.
But other partners is – that's a weird, tricky thing. I've been with a lot of girls that are very much in the beginning into other girls being around and watching and this and that.
Yeah.
And then as the relationship builds and then feelings evolve, I could still stay there and separate, like you say, separate, put things in different boxes.
Yeah.
But it's really hard for them to. I'm not saying it's a woman thing or a man thing. I've seen men do the same shit.
It's just your experience.
It's just my experience.
Yeah.
So when you meet someone who's civilian or vanilla and you're – because I prefer that anyways, because I'm usually the freak that – dominant one that wants to do stuff.
Yeah.
So I like to take people and mold them. That's what you
exactly,
do.
Yeah.
You take people and you mold them. You get turned on by the fact you're guiding this person through the journey, right?
The only difficulty for me as a transgender woman, sometimes when it comes to a guy who wants to fuck me only and they're not comfortable with the asshole being played at all, there comes to that barrier.
What do you mean fuck you only?
Like, they just want to fuck me as like a regular girl.
But they don't. Oh, but they want to actually fuck your vagina.
No, they want to fuck my asshole, but they don't want to get fucked.
So, and you need someone that wants both.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's easier. It's a funny thing. It's like when I meet a guy who wants to get fucked by me, they're much more open-minded than a person who says, you know, who does the fucking.
Yeah. And so when you're saying a standard top comes into play.
Yeah. So basically, a standard top comes into play. It's harder to mold them versus a person who comes in as a bottom, mm-hmm. who have done some femdom or anal play and be able to evolve on that. Because they're open-minded. And then I think it's more so the insecurities of one's body.
But what if you have a top and he's like, hey, why don't we just find guys for you to fuck then? Butt fuck. Does it have to be me?
The thing is, well, then won't be a monogamous situation.
If you want monogamy, though? Seriously?
I'm pro-poly.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You have to find somebody that's open.
Talking about psyche, that's a whole level department. Yeah, like, how do you get someone to be pro-poly? That's a tough part.
Yeah, it's really hard. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And I'm pro-poly. I'm still single.
Have you ever been monogamous? Ever?
I've been always monogamous for a long time. I've been loyal to I've never cheated.
How long, longest relationship you ever had?
Where 3 years.
And you only slept with that person.
Yes, and I was engaged.
No third partners you brought in.
No,
nothing.
No, and really? This is prior to porn too. And the thing is, like, it just did not work for me. And coming to this point now, being in 4 years into porn, like, it's just not for me. I would love to have a poly situation or a guy who is very open minded. Because the fact that I hate that I invest so much time in molding someone and then does not work
out. That's what I'm saying.
And start all over again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the plight of every dom out there is that you spend. Because I am a nurturer. Guide mm-hmm. through sexual experimentation and all that stuff. And when you work and you're like, I'm making you, they don't even realize how amazing you're making their life.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to go out and pick somebody now in a way better fashion than they
would
before.
And you're educating them in a way that they can't even learn online.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're molding them. Yeah. You're giving them fucking pearls.
Yeah.
And then they shut down. And now you got to ditch them and start over again. 3 months of your life down the fucking drain.
This is why sometimes I wonder, like, should I go into a poly community and be able to go to social groups? But at the same time, not many poly people are.
But you don't get off on that. You're like me. You get off on going, hey, look at that so-and-so on the street.
I'm more complex, even more. Actually, I'm sapiosexual.
So, what does that mean?
So it means that I'm more drawn. I'm a sapiosexual. Means basically you're drawn to intellect. So
so smart, vanilla. You want to show them some shit, like.
Yeah. It's tough because the thing is I need to have a connection with someone in order for me to really get fully off. Mm-hmm. If it's just someone who's just hot, you're a Calvin Klein model, cool. But at the same time,
this is what I think. Tell me if you agree. Mm-hmm. Once – I think everyone in the world before they get married should be required to fuck 10 people. That's something that's just a side note.
Secondly, actually, I kind of agree to that.
You have to do that.
Or share something.
I don't want to get you and marry you until I know you've been through something. So what I'm saying is when you – I had a realization not too long ago. Men keep thinking like they haven't fucked enough, right? They're always like, I need to fuck. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't. I've fucked everything you can think of. And I was in a situation
even a watermelon?
I never fucked any fruit, but I'm kind of a human type thing. So I had a situation where this woman was in front of me. I'm waiting for the subway. This woman was in front of me. It was a spring or summer or whatever. She wore like a tight outfit. And I was like, God damn. Mm-hmm. I want to. And I'm trying to not do that, right?
It's awesome. It's spring, too. It's not sweaty.
So good, yeah. I want to fuck her really bad. And then I get on the train. I look at her face. I'd already been with her. Uh-huh. And it hit me that I'm not saying I've slept with everybody in the world, but I've slept with many variations to a point now where actually I just look at somebody I actually already slept with that I thought was a stranger.
Uh-huh.
It's just my urge now. It's just an urge, right? So you just said, like, when you're fucking somebody hot, you fucked – A lot of hot people.
Yeah.
It's boring.
It's boring after a while.
It's about the connection.
It's about the connection. Especially when you get older too. You know, you need to have something to attach on to.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when you are in a world where it's especially with fucking Tinder being so accessible nowadays. It's so easy to be able to find people to be able to just fuck around. But to really have a connection, to have some common ground is a difficulty. Especially for me, as a performer who is a professional in sex, who also is not very vanilla, also as a transsexual, who is also very versatile.
Always.
I don't play this gambit. I'm a very kind of New Yorker mentality, just in your face about it. Because the thing is, I don't like to be able to kind of go around the circle, and then at the end of the day, I get disappointed.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And on Tinder, when they're swiping right on you,
I fucking put that shit down. I'm a profile. I'm transsexual.
Good.
You know, I'm a porn star too. So if you are a Christian or a Catholic, you're not comfortable with that. Actually, I got rejected by Catholic.
Really?
And they're like, oh, you're transgender. We're okay. Oh, you're important.
Porn. People are worried about porn.
Yeah,
I have a dick and I'll suck on it, but I ain't.
I can't.
You uptight Catholic.
Yeah.
I always find the most repressed people are the more freaky people.
You assume that sometimes.
So I went to a Sex Addicts Anonymous meeting once.
Awesome. I love it. Best way to recruit people for sex.
And I went in there, and it was me, and it was like me and 10 Hasidic Jewish men. And I was like, oh, I understand now. Yeah. They're so repressed that they are acting out and they need to be here. Yeah. And it hit me like, even when they talked about how they found Bin Laden and they had like 400 porno movies.
It was gay porn, too.
A lot of freaky shit. I get it. Now you're a little repressed. That makes you want to act out even more.
I agree to that. It's part of the psyche. You know, it's almost like, you know, when you – it's just a Catholic schoolgirl.
How good are you at weeding out the dudes that hit you up that are just along like – to try something new.
God.
Kind of like those white girls that date black guys. Like, yeah. Just try a black guy. Like, it's like a novelty act.
It's
like,
tough.
That must be hard, right?
Weeding is not an issue. I think, thank God, I have a huge pool. Thank God to Grindr. I love Grindr. But at the same time, it's amazing.
Gay,
yeah. Gay, and also they have transgender, but I think it says a lot of cross-dressers on there. So guys always tell me, like, oh, it's hard to meet chicks. But for me, as an actual transgender girl, it's awesome to meet guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm open sexually to bisexual guys too. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But weeding out is a tough part, because the thing is, you have to siphon out those who are very obsessive of me versus those who are sane enough to be able to humanize me.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like to be able to approach and be able to mediate a meeting with someone who actually humanizes me as a normal person versus a person who just obsesses about my movies all the time.
Yeah, because it's a lot of fetish guys.
And the thing is, like, as I said, I'm sapiosexual, so I need to be able to have some draw other than just because you have a big fucking dick or you're good looking.
Yeah,
so what?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's plenty of out there, you know,
yeah.
But I need someone to be able to connect with me. And I think it's more so because I'm single and I haven't had a relationship for a while that I don't – I lack
Do you
that
like
intimacy.
Relationships?
I do. I'm just very selective.
Well, sure.
I'm a fucking businesswoman. I'm a dom. Like, I need someone to fit into this puzzle piece.
Because I've been in that situation too, and you use, you know, well, I'm just choosy. At the same time, you're probably not available either. And maybe now you're slowly becoming
I'm
kind
of like you. I got dabble into so many things in order to keep your momentum of your career.
Yeah,
it's entertainment.
You got to find someone that makes that better.
Yeah.
Because that's when it gets good, when you have someone that goes, oh, your life? I love it. Like, let me help you be better.
For you as a man, as a dom, it works well for you to find a girl to boost you. But for a woman to find a submissive man to kind of boost my career, it's going to be a tough part.
Yeah.
A guy who's going to quit their job to be able to help my career.
Sure.
That's the tough part.
I just want someone, you know, I'm sure at one point you can find somebody that's supportive of what you do and wants you to be really good at it. But I do
but
feel
education
like,
and also is a lacking too. Is it,
so you're saying you meet a lot of dumb motherfuckers? Is that it's really hard to meet someone with the full gamut of shit?
Yeah. Like, well, the thing is, you have the people who are.
I don't think you're selective. You just got you got a dick. You got a female mentality. You're female. You have all. You're a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
And you're trying
I understand
to match up all this other shit.
And the thing is, I try to relate to guys who are, you know, the kind of the straight, clean cut kind of guys. Cause
what's your type and do besides intellect? Obviously, that's the forefront.
Nowadays, it's just tough to anyone that's going to be intellectual.
Anybody that can.
Of course, I do like I like hairy guys. I like fit guys. Muscular
hairy guys. You like
hairy
guys?
Yeah,
hairy. Like they're
like
fucking
Borat hairy. Like, oh my god, like mustache and black hair.
The
like,
reverse of you, basically.
Yes, because when I fuck a girl, I feel smooth.
Yeah.
But when I fuck a guy or I'm with a guy, I want to feel a man, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I want that kind of segregation. So,
so let's get this straight. A really hairy guy.
Yes, hairy guy.
A really smart hairy guy.
A Jew. I need to find a Jew.
You're in New York, Jesus Christ.
I know.
Figure it out. They're all around.
I'm awesome.
Lainey, you're sitting next to one.
I know.
Call up your family, Lainey. Holy
I know.
Shit.
Give me your brother.
Some spices out there. Some hairy balls ready to serve them up.
So Jews are awesome. I love Jews. I'm Chinese. And it's already kosher. So.
What about Armenians and Italians? No go?
Not really.
Why do women hate Italian men so much? I think
Italian I like
men,
Italians, but they're just too
just wreck chicks,
too
man.
Too misogynistic. You
know? They want to do some stuff.
They're not. Most of them are not sapiosexual, so they're just like up in your face.
AKA
suck my dick. Yeah, totally. I'm from Georgie Shore, you know, kind of situation, you know. But
you
Armenians.
Know, it's such a sad because I'm Sicilian. It's such a great culture.
I've been to Rome. I was in Rome.
Oh,
the thing is, I was on Tinder in Rome too, and the guys are the same way out here in New York.
But what I'm saying is, it's such a wonderful culture that has spawned so many great things that we have to this day, and literally that's what it's resorted to now is like that Jersey Shore mentality.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
It is. It sucks. But
give me my culture back. I want it all back. See, look, we can't even get women like Venus Lux anymore. She's giving up on us, guys. Step up your game.
Yeah.
You're hairy. Some of you can be sapiosexual.
I know.
You can pound her ass. Come on.
I know. We'll flip a coin one of these nights, and then we'll figure out who's going to be on top. But options, right? Shit, you know. But I'm going to stick to Jews for the time being. But at the same time, it's so weird. It's evolved because I've been single for so long that I'm just like, anything that will come my way, sure.
So now you're just taking numbers.
I'm just taking tickets. Yeah, it's just like a deli.
You're up.
You know, next number 45.
Yeah, you're up.
Number 45.
So how do you because I feel like whenever someone is physical, mm-hmm. when you're having sex with somebody, it does take a little bit out of you, even if you're already able to do what you do so well.
Especially after a shoot too.
Put everything in their place, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking physically. That's a whole separate point. I'm talking about you as a. You as Venus. Yeah. And it takes a little, not to get too philosophical about it, but it does take a little piece of you when you're physical with somebody.
Yeah.
How do you balance that when, one, you have this crazy sex drive now? Yeah. You always have had it.
I always have it, yeah.
And you have a personal life where you go, fuck, I'm on the road a bunch. I mean, I'm on the road a bunch. It's hard because, one, you gotta learn what your sex duality is, right?
Yeah.
Like, am I fucking because I'm lonely? Am I fucking because I want companionship. Am I fucking because I just want to fuck? Like,
yeah. I love these questions. These are great questions.
Are you
clear
with that?
I'm very clear with that. I've done a lot of soul searching in my past. And
yeah.
I still do a lot of mediation with myself and kind of understanding my triggers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Through the process of being a bachelorette and also having this career, that I've mediated myself that when I'm on the road, you know, I'm on the road. I'm not going to fucking find a relationship on the fucking road.
Of course.
So I'm going to be in bachelorette mode and just, you know, get what my needs handle.
Sure, sure.
But when I'm back home, if I want to settle down with someone, okay, I'll give that person a time to be able to go on dates and hang out.
Mm-hmm.
So I compartmentalize and I know what triggers me, what pleases me, and be able to address my needs. I feel like a lot of people don't know how to mediate themselves to be able to get segregating their desires from their needs,
mm-hmm.
and be able to really address all that and not suppress it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so over time, I think having a lot of friends who are sex educators
mm-hmm.
have helped me grow as a person to be able to dictate why I'm feeling this way and with this guy. You know, I'm feeling lonely mm-hmm. because, you know, I want to cuddle today. Why do I feel like I want to cuddle? Or like, why I want to get fucked, rammed hard tonight, you know?
Yeah.
So overall, you know, I'm open to all. I don't have much prejudice against anything. More so, it's just like, I'll have my moments when I just want to get, I want to have sex and that's it. And just leave it at that. Don't mm-hmm. touch me. Don't cuddle. You're not sleeping over.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have moments like, okay, I trust you enough. I want you to stay over. I want you to cuddle with me.
Yeah.
Or like,
that's an in the moment decision. Let's just go specifically about the
road. I gauge on personality.
Yeah, because the situations I've been in,
you have to meet people.
You know, sometimes I do things. I create my own drama, if you will, my own film in my mind about things.
You have a chick
sometimes
moment.
If I feel like it, I want to romanticize it. Like, this chick could be a zero, but something in that moment where I was in the mood to romanticize it and feel like it's more than it is, and then I get really hooked on, and then I can disappear. Right? Like it's a thing where it makes things more interesting. But I've had to learn to not do that, right? Because you can't. One, you're fucking with other people. Two, you're fucking with yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
And you don't want to set yourself for disappointment and have expectations. And for me, like, that's when my kind of male mentality jumps in.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is, I noticed that it's a very impulsive thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of addressing the needs at the moment right now. It's like, awesome, cool. But then there might be lingering side effects. You know, like, shit, you know.
The texting afterwards.
Yeah, the texting afterwards, right? Or you start missing.
Yeah.
And then you start kind of going overboard and stepping the boundaries. Like, dude.
Trying to create something that's not there, right?
Like this chick, or for instance, you know, I'm not saying for me, but.
Do girls get hooked on you sometimes? Have you had girls like?
Yeah, they're like, oh, let's hang out. You know, I want you to meet my girlfriend's kind of situation. Uh-huh. I'm just like, no, that's not what I want to do. Or like, oh, let's go shopping. Let's do our nails. I'm like, that's not me. Like, for me, like, I love our time together, but at the same time, I want to segregate that. And top of that, I'm not interested in all of that chick shit. I'm a feminist, but there's a boundary, you know?
Like, when you go shopping, you want to go shopping.
I'm like a dude.
Oh,
I go
really?
In, I spend like 20 minutes, get what I fucking need, get the fuck out.
It's not like
I order on Amazon.
For you.
Amazon. Well, I love Amazon.
The best.
Yeah, I just order that shit online.
So you make your life simple in a lot of terms
that are
gender oriented in
and,
a way.
Yeah, I do. And also, on top of that, I also do a lot of harm prevention.
Okay.
So more so, I know that it's been a rough year and it's been like very lonely traveling all over.
For you, it has been.
And, you know, yeah. And then if I were to hook up with someone and I like them, I connect so well, you know, but the thing is, I know the reality of it, that the long distance is not going to work out. Then I kind of keep it to a kind of arm's
length. Is that hard to do? I mean, it's one thing if you're fucking a lot. It's another thing if you're having a lonely year. I mean, we're talking 365 days of loneliness.
Yeah.
Do you start creating a little bit, like, hey, this person maybe if I was not in this mindset would be great, but not as great as I'm making them? I adopt
some kind of disciplines and characteristics from the poly lifestyle and be able to add.
What are one of those? Because that's interesting to me. What are some characteristics?
So what a poly is about trust, eliminating insecurities, and be able to be proactive and supportive of a person.
But isn't that also spawn when you have a lightning rod in your life, like a partner? Is it hard to put those things in place when you don't have that kind of...
I think it's just labels. I think overall it's about trust building and be able to have that connection with one person to be able to say, okay, cool, I will support you. Go ahead and have fun with that chick. That's awesome. I think you're doing something awesome, getting pegged by her or doing rope bondage, you know. But still, I have that connection with you.
Yeah,
still,
that's
right.
Like if you and I were, like, let's say we start out in a relationship and we are the ones, we have the bond built, we are in love. This is us.
Yeah.
But we're comfortable with others.
Yes.
There's still something that's sacred for us.
Yes.
What I'm saying is when you're single like you are and you're lonely and you're saying that you use some of those characteristics that you would have to adopt within a poly lifestyle.
How would it look like?
Is it hard to initiate those? When you're not, you don't have that person to run back to or that soundboard. You know?
I don't throw on them a poly relationship. Actually, more so, I adopt in a way where I compartmentalize all my needs. So I have a person who I cuddle with.
Okay, all right. You're saying you have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Like,
Kind of almost brutal. Yeah.
But you know what? Everyone serves a need.
A purpose, yes.
You have a utilitarian of people. It's like, okay, here's my tool belt of people.
It helps me mediate and keep myself sane, especially when I don't have that kind of a foundation to be able to.
And they understand this.
I'm open.
Walk out of it feeling like, oh, I just used that person.
No, I won't say that. I disclose, like,
of
hey, I'm dating around, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I have other connections. I have friends, you know, friends with benefits. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
And here's what you bring to me.
Yeah, and I'm it's literally no jealousy. It's very supportive. Like, oh my God, you're awesome. So your girlfriend, you know, you and your girlfriend are in a poly situation or your open relationship situation. That's awesome. How's the kid? You know, we talk about real life
stuff. A little
bit
of small talk and then you get to what you got to get to. Okay.
Yeah, cool. and then we'll watch a movie, this and that. So I only do close people that I trust and be able to have that kind of, like, outside, you know, inside kind of situation. You know, I need to have that outside inside dynamic. Otherwise, if it's just in the bedroom situation, then that's just a hookup and I don't need that.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, you want to find somebody that can suit all of those things.
Yes, I'd rather have partners. I'd rather have multiple partners than to, and without the labels, without the restrictions, without the expectations. So that's how it keeps myself sane. And it's been working very well for me. The thing is, like, you have to replace sometimes people.
Especially
if you're on the road, you have a need and you need a cuddle buddy, but then you're on the road for 2 days in San Francisco.
Just anybody can.
You can't, you know. So you just kind of just suck it up, you know. Yeah. It's part of entertainment. It's how it is. Look at fucking Charlie Sheen, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if she was a good example for how you should delete. So I guess, you know, to tie it all up with what we're talking about, when you have a lot of – this is just from my own experience I'm speaking from. When you have a lot of people, I used to have like, oh, this girl, I can be domestic with her. Yeah. She can cook and we can sit down and eat. This is a girl that looks good in a dress. She's a Friday night girl. Yeah. Like I had girls like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they knew I was dating around.
One to take you to your mother kind of situation.
I would introduce to my family that could hang, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There was that one that could hang and cool around the guys. And then you had that one that was just total freak.
Exactly.
You can do whatever you want with her.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I knew as I started going through my therapy more and more that I wanted someone that I could do all those things with.
Yeah.
And granted, you're not going to find anybody that does them as well.
That's
as
one
that.
Of the things I adopt. Another thing from poly's relationships is basically you do not put all your eggs in one basket. You always shift it until the person has given you enough trust and merit enough to be able to shift your
you
eggs into
that
one person.
You think that person exists for you out there, though, that's like that? That you can make concessions for? That you can compromise with?
I come to the conclusion that I will opt in for a poly situation down the road. And I mean poly meaning as in poly falling in love and being have a multiple love partner.
Sure.
And not have the restriction of a monogamous situation. You're dating the same person, you're in love with the same person, and you're stuck with the same dick all the same time. I'm not a firm believer in monogamy. Just such a high,
and no one's ever changed that of you except for that one person for 3 years, or this is all based off of having gone through that,
having
you know,
gone through that
fact.
Having gone through that being in porn and dating while I'm in porn has given me that knowledge to be able to come to this conclusion that I'm gonna be in a poly situation.
Wouldn't it be safe to say that porn is now that wedge in between even seen that. Not that monogamy is right or wrong. I don't even care.
Like
about
a date
that.
A porn person would be awesome. It'd be like a one-stop shop kind of situation.
How long do you plan on being in this field? I mean, always you probably will have that connection.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you can't always be in front of the camera.
No.
You know, and not that you would want to anyways.
Yeah, so that's what I'm working on right now. I'm branching off and kind of be able to kind of create an exit plan regarding to as a performer to be able to balance out. If I'm not feeling as a performing anymore, what would it be? So right now I do have a DVD line that I direct and produce.
Okay.
And I'm building more sites and I have a couple projects.
But it's hard to make money in porn.
It's hard.
People don't know this because you're getting your porn for free.
Yeah.
People are not being paid.
You're not getting paid. There's no royalties or anything.
Yeah,
like that,
it's not like it's a big time endeavor now to produce your own porn.
So you have to produce and direct. That's how you make your own money because you have control of the content. And so you'd be able to either license it or dictate how much
it's
you want to sell
it. Website.
Yes.
Right.
I have a website, venus-lux.com. And also I'm working on branching out and creating new sites and directing new DVD lines and having new partnerships with different companies.
Cisgender porn and trans? Or
Combination.
Okay. You do both.
I'm working on having a lesbian, meaning a cisgender woman and a transgender woman, and I call that lesbian pornography. So I'm working on that, and also I'm working on advancement of the fetishization of transgender and normalizing it with other subcategories such as romance, sensuality, massages, keeping it kind of normal, like real life situations, and not more about, oh, it's a chick with a fucking penis kind of situation. It's a she-male, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm working on those projects this year, and I will be staying in probably at least, you know, 4 more years and building.
So you have a 4-year plan.
4-year plan, building the momentum.
As a performer too?
Both. 4 more years? I own my own company.
Yeah, I know you're going to do both, but I mean, so you're saying for 4 years, for sure, you're going to still perform.
Be in the industry.
In the industry in general.
Yeah.
I'm talking specifically scenes. How long do you think you'd be going with doing
performing
scenes?
I would say
that's it's hard on your body, right?
It's hard. And the thing is, there's not enough work in my field to be able to warrant a career as a performer.
Regular lifestyle.
Yeah. So at this moment right now, you know, I will dabble into it. Thank God I only shoot.
Because you do appearances because now you have a name, which pays you a certain fee. But
yeah.
Like the other girls get to do, I can't speak on the males because, but I know the cisgender genders do the dancing, they do the
dancing.
Dance tour, the feature dancing,
webcamming.
I mean, you could probably do the webcamming too, but I mean more so on the supplemental level, on the up and up, what you
just
can
to
do
keep basically you girls do that in order to be able to maintain the revenue to be able to cover up the overhead. But for me, is because my market is so much smaller that the overhead kind of counterbalances the income that comes in, so basically it kind of breaks even in a way. So really, in order to make a really good profit margin, you have to be able to produce and direct and own stuff and be able to have a level of business acumen and be able to progress your career. Otherwise, you become very complacent and being as a performer who only shoots one time a month. That's where I'm shooting. I'm like shooting once a month.
Yeah,
that's nothing.
That's brutal.
And
it's not a lot of money.
It's not a lot of money, especially when you have a lifespan of, like, say, I've been in the industry for 4 years. You shot with all the companies because it's only like a handful of companies.
Yeah,
that are
making shit now.
Yeah,
right?
And so that's why you, in the sake of advancement of your career, you really have to kind of take it in your own hands and just evolve it. And the thing is, that's my goal this year, is to be able to progress my industry and be able to expand it on a whole new level to be able to warrant more jobs and more stability for performers, those who just are good at performers and not really interested in doing the business stuff.
It must be hard for you because you're right. Your field is so small
and
who you reach is such a small little pool.
Yeah.
It must be hard for you because I'm sure you get offers all the time, like escort type shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It must be hard for you to go, oh, this guy's throwing a lot of money at me.
Yeah.
How do I maintain whatever?
Yeah.
I don't want to use the word dignity because I don't think escorting is a bad thing.
There's
a need for it, but I think there's
a lot of conformity, though. That's a lot of conformity because of the fact that it's just kind of the expectations of a porn star.
Yeah.
That a lot of girls conform to that in order to be able to get what they need, which is get their
the
bills
sugar
paid.
Sugar daddies, the money, this. Yeah.
And I feel like that it works out to a certain degree when in a short term, but in the long run, you know.
It's
not a good long term plan, especially if it's all physical based.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so when you break a leg, you get hit by a car, you have HIV, what's going to happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so you have to have an exit plan. That's the thing.
So you're saying that this is a good point because I don't think anyone's ever put it this way, because it's a question that comes up a lot when I'm talking to people, is that if you do not learn how to make a way, like you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink type of situation.
Exactly.
If you don't understand how to make your way without your body, In the long term, you're fucked. So you can bang all that. You can get flown to wherever, Hawaii, Fiji, and not put your sponsor in your Instagram post. But we all know that you're being you're out there for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all fine and dandy. But at the end of the day, you're kind of doing yourself a disservice because you're not learning how to take that journey and make sure that you can
evolve your brand, whether it be toy lines, cross over to mainstream acting, or writing a book, or having a podcast like this. You know, you need to be able to subsidize your income when it gets to a point where you can't do anything physical.
Sure.
So you have to be tactical and strategic. The thing is, there's not enough management, you know, in the field of porn, and to be able to help girls get out. And that's why you see a lot of girls don't really cross over, besides, you know, a few like Sasha Grey, Jenna Jameson.
It's really hard because you're always that porn star.
You're a porn star.
You're always a porn star.
You know, and you can't turn it off.
If you
win
an Academy Award, you're still
a porn star.
The Academy Award winning porn star.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. So that's why you have to kind of be able to balance out both in front and the back end of the camera. And, you know, it's a tough part because there's no guidebook. There's no one-on-one dummy guidebook to actually be successful in porn, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just a lot of due diligence, and especially a great example would be like Jessica Drake, Asa Akira, who evolved their brand, you know, other than just a physical level, to be able to have their books, to be able to have their toy lines, be able to have directing credits for scenes that they've directed and not performed in.
Sure.
So you just advance it, and that's where I'm taking that module and apply it to my life, to be able to eventually get in and get out, make my money, and be able to have my family eventually.
Awesome.
And focus on my magazine that I have, which is work in progress.
Yeah, plug your stuff. Let them, you know, let them know where they can find you and what you got going on.
Yeah, so you guys can find me on Twitter at Venus Lux. You can check out my Instagram, Venus Lux, my website, venus-lux.com. Also, I own a transgender lifestyle magazine. Lifestyle in the sense that what it really entails for being a transgender person, not the dressing up and a beauty part, but more about the politics, issues, awareness. Check it out, transglobalmagazine.com. I have my podcast, The Venus Lux Show, that's basically released every 2 weeks on transglobalmagazine.com. Eventually be evolved, hopefully in a process of getting into a nonprofit.
Nice. Your website has all this information too,
yes,
right?
So yes.
They can go
I have my
straight
blog.
There. That's like your nervous center.
Venus-lux.com also is tied in with my blog, venusluxblog.com, where you can keep updates with what's going on in my life. I have a toy line that's coming out shortly.
What's the toy line? Your dick?
Molding of my dick.
Ah.
Yes. Yeah.
Is it hard to keep hard when they're making that mold? What did you have to do to stay hard when they're molding it?
Watch porn.
Oh, you're like...
Watching porn, like, oh, yeah.
you can jerk with the mold on?
No.
Oh, that's a bummer.
But you just, like, you just gotta jerk off. And then and keep watching porn, just kind of like fuck a little bit in order for the mold to be.
How long does it take for the mold to get hard? It must take a while,
just,
right?
No, it just takes like.
And you want it to be its full girth,
right? Yeah, so you basically about 1 or 2 minutes,
right,
you know?
Okay.
So it's not that much, you know? And the thing is, it's cold. I mean, it's
That's
cold.
What I mean.
So
it's a total counterproductive situation.
You just gotta, I don't know, pop a pill?
This is the hardest. This is what the struggle is real for. Yeah,
for fucking porn stars with penises.
Well, I love you.
Thank you.
We had so much fun, right?
Hey, I have. Awesome. I love your questions. You're so intuitive and you're
so
insightful.
I'm very intelligent. I'm very sapiosexual.
Educated. Love it.
Exactly. But you were so open. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know what? The cool thing about this is I have a lot of people in here, and all of them are interesting in their own way.
Yeah.
But what's great is that you have your own insights on what you've been through as a person, but also at being transgender, it adds in an element of people out there need to hear about it. It's going
to
help somebody.
And I'll be going on tour to doing a lot more sex education at colleges and seminars and conferences.
And so, all that will be on your site.
Yes.
You can get that.
Check me out.
Well, thank you so much. Steady talking shit in the hole. First you wanna step to me. Now your ass screaming for the deputy. They sing in a Charlie. It's Venus Lux. Make sure you go follow Venus. I wanna say thank you, Venus. You're amazing. I can't tell you how much it is refreshing to deal with somebody that understands that their plight and their adversity helps others. And that's what you've done today, and I extremely appreciate what you do. And how you did it with me. Thank you. You're awesome. Plus, I have an email for you from my friend Anthony who says, I would love to have a three-way with Venus Lux and Riley Quinn. Can you make it happen? I'll worship their feet. Now, I don't know if Venus is going to make this happen, but, you know, if you can send the guy a shout-out, good. Thank you again. That being said, I do this shit every week. You need to tell a fucking friend. You need to tell a companion. You need to tell a coworker. Have them subscribe and listen because I'm doing real shit. I'm not out there bullshitting around, whoring myself out. This is real shit. Venus Lux is real shit. We're doing real shit. Period. So go follow the Twitter. Go on the Instagram so you can see the pictures. Go do what we got to do here. We're doing good works. We're doing the good works. That being said, at Slampig Podcast, if you want to email me, I'll read the emails on the air. Slampigpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find me at Josh Accardo. Go to Venus Lux at Venus Lux. I'll be out in LA in a couple weeks. We'll do it up there. I have some things lined up. We'll do it up. It'll be nice. It'll be great. Bada boom, bada bing. Anyways, I hope you guys are having a great week. And I hope, you know, literally, we live in trying times. And at the end of the day, if you're okay with you and you're being yourself, then you're doing everything right. So I'm hoping you guys are doing that. And on that note, have a good one. Remix. Old school tip. Yeah. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me